And I want to just get to the word. I want to give you my title, speaking of that today. And my title of the word for today is this: you've got a story to tell. You've got a story to tell. I want you to tell the person that's beside you, you've got a story to tell. I want you to type it in the chat. I've got a story to tell. You've got a story to tell. I want to read really quickly John chapter 4. You guys keep playing just for a quick moment. John 4. Because this is where we're going to spend just a few moments today, because I believe just God is doing something supernatural in our hearts. But here's what it says. Then the woman left her jar, went into the town, the city, and told the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And they left the town and made their way to him. And I want to go down to verse 39. Now many Samaritans from that town, the town that this woman goes to, believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of what he said. Going back to verse 29. "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" Verse 39. Now many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified, "He told me everything I ever did." You have a story to tell. Amen, somebody. You got a story to tell. And what God wants to do today is he wants to move us from a place of being silent with our story to now telling our story. Telling our story of what he has done for us through Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray in these few moments that we have together that you would stir our hearts all the more with your word. You've already spoken to us in a rich way. You've already opened up our eyes, filled our hearts in a rich way, in an unconventional way this morning. God, you're doing something so unique in this church and so unique in the hearts and minds of these people. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your word here in this moment would seal it, but also cause us to be sent out on a mission to take the city. In Jesus' name, every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the presence of God, for all that he's done. One of the things that's so powerful about the space that we're in, the series that we're in, Take the City, Acts chapter 17, verse 6, I shared this scripture last week. I've shared it the multiple weeks since week one. And in this passage in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, the Bible says, "These men," meaning the disciples, "who have turned the world upside down, have come here too." These men, these disciples, these followers of Jesus, who are taking the cities by storm with this message about Jesus, they have turned the world upside down, and they have now come here too. And I love this passage of scripture because it captures the heartbeat of what we are supposed to be doing as Christians, which is taking the world by storm, turning the world upside down with the message and the hope of Jesus. Because there's only one name that can change a person's life. There's only one name that can set a person free from their sin, from their shame, from their struggle, and from their stronghold, and that person is Jesus Christ himself. And the church understood this, and they took this message everywhere, and they turned the world upside down. And this series has been all about trying to stir our hearts to point people to Jesus. And scripture in Matthew 28 is called the Great Commission, where Jesus gave his disciples these last commands or instructions before he would go to heaven. Go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I will be with you to the ends of the age. It is the Great Commission. It is the mission of every follower of Jesus. It is the mission of every single person who has received Christ Jesus. Which brings us back now to John chapter 4 as we end this series, Take the City. Because in this passage of scripture, you see this very powerful moment from the scripture that we read. But in order to understand the significance of the verses that we just read about this woman going to tell the city about her encounter with Jesus, you got to first understand what happened to her earlier in chapter 4. And to help us to understand the significance of this and maybe why she felt so compelled to go tell others about Jesus, I thought that this might be helpful to put it in this type of context. Have you ever had a moment in your life where something happened to you that was so impactful that you said, I gotta tell somebody? Have you ever had a moment where something was so profound on your life where you said, I got to go tell somebody about it? This is too good to keep to myself. I remember earlier this summer around May or June, somewhere around there, it was a Saturday morning, and in our home on Saturday morning, we kind of have a tradition where we make pancakes and sausage, and it's kind of like a big old family style type of brunch and breakfast and all that type of stuff on Saturdays. But my wife did something that we typically don't do, and it was this. She went to a place called Glazed Donuts here in our city in Hampton. And she got this assorted box of donuts from Glazed Donuts. And as I opened up the box, I saw all these different types of donuts. Donuts that just was like, who thinks of this? Bacon on a donut and Cinnamon Toast Crunch on a donut. But then my eyes drifted to something that I could not refuse. And it was a donut that had Fruity Pebbles on it. And I said, the devil is a liar to take one of my favorite cereals to tempt me now to eat this donut. And it was split in half, and as I tasted the donut, I immediately felt the sugar rush. As the donut entered my mouth, endorphins are going off in my brain and said, oh my gosh, this has to be by far the best donut I've ever had in my life. And it is so good that I can't keep it to myself. So what do? I take a picture of it and I post it. So for that, some of us who follow me on social media can also enjoy the richness. And it's kind of stretched out. You may not be able to see it, but it's that one in the top middle right there. So that others can experience the richness and the grace and the glory of God in the form of this Fruity Pebble Glazed Donuts. Is there anybody here who can testify that you've had that donut before? Look at y'all, nobody here. This is what I want you to do this week. I want you to go to Glazed Donuts this week. They got weird hours, so you got to Google hours. Go to Glazed Donut this week and ask them specifically for the Fruity Pebble Donuts. And when you do that, here's what I also want you to do. When you do that, I also want you to take one of these cards for Welcome Home Sunday and drop this off while you get a donut. Because it's too good for me to hold on to myself. That thing is too good for me just to consume myself. And when I think about this story here in the book of John chapter 4, it's something very similar happening. Because you have this Samaritan woman who has a very broken life, who has a very troubled past. For these first few verses of this chapter in chapter 4, we see her interaction with Jesus. And in the story, we see this woman, she's looking for fulfillment, she's looking for joy, she's looking for satisfaction. She is thirsty. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about in a negative sense. She's not thirsty for a man. She's not thirsty for something that many of us may think. No. The Bible says she came to a well to draw water from the well. Obviously because she was thirsty. But what we see as we read this passage of scripture was that beneath the surface of her being thirsty for water, she was thirsty for fulfillment. She was thirsty for hope. The Bible talks about how in her interaction with Jesus, as we see their conversation, that we can see readily that she has a knowledge of God, but she didn't know God. She had information, but not revelation. I do want you to understand that there is a difference between the two. You can know about God, but not know God. You can know the scriptures and not know Jesus. You can know all this and all that, but don't have a relationship with Jesus. She knew all the religious language. She knew all the religious undertones, but yet she missed the one that it was all pointing to. She found herself thirsty. In John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and he went to Galilee, and he had to travel through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down at the well, and it was about noon. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Notice what Jesus says in verse 7. Give me a drink, Jesus said to her, because his disciples had gone into town to buy food. But notice next. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, she asked him. For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. It's interesting because Jesus does something that's very unconventional. He has a conversation with someone that by culture standards, he shouldn't be talking to. It's interesting because in this conversation alone, Jesus is breaking two cultural taboos. One is that Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. He's already broken that. Secondly, is that a man did not normally speak with a female stranger, specifically a Samaritan woman, in public. But yet Jesus is doing that. What does this help us to understand from the outset? It helps us to understand that Jesus broke barriers so that this woman's life could be changed. And I want you to understand something powerful about Jesus. Jesus is willing to do whatever it takes to get you, to save you, to redeem you, to give you hope, to restore you, to revive you, to reconcile you. He is willing to break whatever barrier is in the way. Jesus breaks barriers that culture creates so that we can experience freedom. It's interesting because Jesus shows us once again that he is for all people, that he isn't just for a certain ethnic group of people. And the thing that was so interesting about this conversation is that Jews, as I mentioned earlier, Jews and Samaritans did not hang out together because of the racial and ethnic tension that existed for hundreds of years prior to this moment. Doesn't that sound awfully familiar to today? It shows us, once again, that Jesus has come to bridge the racial gap, the spiritual gap, the relational gap that exists not only between God and humanity, but humanity itself. Meaning this, once again, Jesus is for all people. And he shows us here even more in their conversation. I want us to jump down to verse 16 and 19. I don't have a whole lot of time to read the whole story. You can read it when you get home. But look at what verse 16 says. Go call your husband, he told her, and come back here. Prior to this moment, they had a conversation about water, and he asked her for some water, and she's like, sir, you don't have a bucket, and this well runs deep, this, that, and the third. And then they start to have this now spiritual conversation about what real water is, and Jesus begins to tell her about this living water that Jesus wants to offer everybody. In other words, what this world wants to offer you cannot satisfy you, but only what Jesus offers you can. And so now she's like, sir, give me this water so I don't have to keep coming back to this well. Give me this water so I don't get thirsty. And then Jesus kind of switches up the game. And he says, hey, before I do that, go call your husband. And then come back here. Watch what she says in verse 17. I don't have a husband, she answered. Jesus says, you have correctly said, I don't have a husband, Jesus said. Verse 18, for you have had five husbands. and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Look at her response in verse 19. Sir, the woman replied, I can clearly see that you're a prophet. You have pulled my card. You have got all up in my business. You have got all up in my life. You have got all up in my story. Here's what we see in this passage from her. She has some relational baggage. Now, many times, oftentimes, when we may hear this and when we read this scripture, it is easy to think that maybe this woman was promiscuous in nature, or maybe she was a homewrecker, or maybe. But here's what, one of the things you got to understand about the first century Greco-Roman context. Women could not go out and divorce their husbands on their own. Because of this cultural context they were in, it was the husbands who initiated a divorce. Which helps us to see something very powerful here. That the reason why she's divorced was not necessarily because of her, it was because of the man. And so what's happened is she's maybe been demonized and vilified even in her own community, because when people look at her as like, oh, she got some issues. This is why the Bible says she was coming to the well at noon. Who comes to the well at the hottest part of the day? Somebody who's not trying to be in contact with anybody else because they got something that they're ashamed of. But do you see the significance of Jesus? Remember what the Bible said in verse 1, verse 4? He had to go through Samaria at a certain time. At a certain time, at the hottest part of the day, Jesus, the well of living water, meets this woman at the well with natural water so he could give her spiritual water. I love how God sets up these divine appointments in our life to get us something that we've been longing for, something that we've been looking for, something that we've tried to find in this relationship, in this job. He has a strategic way of orchestrating things to get us what we need. And the Bible says that after this exchange, and after she says what she says, she goes and does something powerful. But the reason why she goes and does something powerful is because the lesson that I want us to get today, which is what I believe she had in her heart, she understood this, that no matter my color, no matter my past, no matter my brokenness, no matter what I've done, Jesus came to transform my life. And what I want you to understand is today, just as Jesus transformed this woman's life, he also wants to do the same thing for you. And just as he wants to do the same thing for you, he also wants to do the same thing for those who are connected to you. So now this gets us down to verse 21. He says this, believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews, meaning it came through the Jews. But an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Verse 25, she says, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. She didn't even know that he was the Messiah at this point, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And here's what Jesus says. I, the one speaking to you, am he. And through this conversation, Jesus radically transforms this woman's life. He fulfills her. He affirms her. He gives her clarity when she was confused. She found freedom in Jesus to where she, even the Bible says late earlier that she came with a water jar. And later on in verse 29, the Bible says she went back to the town and left her water jar right where she was. Which means she came for one thing, but then quickly realized, I didn't need that. Because when I came to the well to get, I realized that there was something else at the well that was better than what I came to get, and his name is Jesus. And she was so radically transformed, and life was changed so drastically that she was compelled with this desire. I gotta go tell somebody about this. I got to go tell somebody about this. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today who has a story of how God did something in your life that did not make sense? You didn't deserve it. You didn't work for it, but yet he did it. He opened up a door. He healed your body. He answered your prayer. He provided for you. He set you free from your addiction. He set you free from your shame. Can anybody here online or in person be honest today and say, God has done great things for me today. He's opened up doors. He's been faithful. He's been better than good. Come on, can we take about 5 seconds and just honor God for all the great things that he's done? Come on, he healed your body. He answered your prayer. He provided for you. Set you free from your shame. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, he's been good to you. And I want you to understand this. You got a story of how God has been good to you. You got a story to tell. This woman had a story to tell, but she represents all of us in here, online and in person. You got a story to tell. Because God has done something incredible for you. You got a story. Come on, I know some of your stories about how you were in some dark moments, shooting up arms, overdosing, doing things that were crazy, doing things that didn't make sense, giving up on your life, but yet God stepped in and turned your life around and directed you. You got a story. And every single person in here, especially for those of us who are followers of Christ, you have a story of knowing God's goodness to you. You got a story of how God has been faithful. How do I know all of us in here got a story? You made it through a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic and are still making it. Come on. Some of us in this room and watching online, you got COVID, and you know people who died of it, and you thought that the same thing might happen to you, but yet you are still here today. It is a proof and evidence of God's grace on your life. You got a story. You got a story, which means that I got something that I can tell others about. I got something that I can share about God's goodness. You got a story. Come on. If you would just be honest for a moment and take off the sanctified sunglasses for a moment and look at things for what they are and look back over your life. Come on. I wish I had some help here. Look back over your life and see all that God has done in your life. Clearly, you can say goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Come on, I'm looking at some people here today. You don't deserve to be at the job that you're at. You don't deserve to be in the house that you're in. You don't deserve to be in your right mind. But God, because he's good, because he's faithful, because he's gracious, he loved you enough to save you from your sin. You got a story. You got a story. You got a story. You're a college student, you got a story. You're an elementary school student, you got a story. You're a middle school student, you got a story. You're single, you got a story. You're married, you got a story. Divorced, widowed, whatever, you have a story. You're white, you got a story. You're black, you got a story. You're Asian, you got a story. Latino, you got a story. Every single person in here has a story of the goodness and of the grace of our God. And what do with it? We go tell it. We go tell it. You go tell people about his love, his forgiveness, grace, mercy. Just like this woman went and told her city about Jesus and his goodness, we are now to do the same. It's interesting because Jesus gives the Great Commission in Matthew 28 right after his resurrection. Go make disciples of all nations. This woman is fulfilling the Great Commission before Jesus even said to do it. This woman is being faithful to the mission of Jesus before he even tells it, after his resurrection. She won't at the tomb the day he rose. She wasn't there 3 days later. She wasn't one of the ones who went to the tomb like Mary and Martha. No, not one bit. But yet, she was so compelled by the love and mercy and forgiveness of Jesus where she said, I gotta go tell somebody. Because it's too good to keep it to myself. Because when your life has truly been transformed by Jesus and you know his goodness, his love, his forgiveness, it leaks out of you. You can't help but to talk about him. You share about him, and you talk about how he's changed your life. And anytime somebody in Scripture had a life-changing experience with Jesus, you know what they always did? They went and told somebody about it.
Every time. Every single time. And let me ask this question. I'm meddling a little bit. Maybe part of the reason why we don't feel compelled to go talk about Jesus is maybe we haven't yet had an experience with him. Could it be the reason why we're not compelled to talk about him is because we have not had an experience with him? And I'm not saying that to shame us. I'm saying that to awaken us, that Jesus wants to transform your life, and when he gets a hold of your life, you can't help but to go tell other people. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, I thought about calling my message this: you don't have a right to remain silent. You don't got no right to remain silent with the story of transformation of what God has done for you, saved you from the crack house, so you're gonna be silent with it when there's other people who need to be set free too? No. He says, go. Go tell it. And we learned something from this woman here that I want to give us just in these last few moments together about how we should tell our story. I think she's a prototype and an example that we can follow. That when we tell our story, here's what we're to be. We're to be bold. Somebody say bold. Notice what verse 28 says. She went into the town and told the people. She went to the town and told the people. Hold on, pause. This is the same town that she was trying to avoid because of her reputation. She had a reputation in this town. Relational baggage, breakdowns, history, all that. But yet, she goes back to the place that she could have avoided. She wasn't intimidated by the people. She went to them. She went back to the very place that she had a questionable reputation and boldly told them about Jesus. And I want to say this. Only Jesus can change somebody's life so much that where it would cause them to go back to a place that they know where people don't like them. Only Jesus, because it don't make sense. Why would you go to the place where people were talking about you? Why would you go to the place where people were Facebooking about you, Instagramming about you, hashtagging you? Why would you go back to that place? Because Jesus has been too good. She shows us that we're to be bold. And I want you to see what happens here. Verse 28, left for water jar, went to the town, told the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Watch verse 30. They left the town now and made their way to him. She was bold in the fact that she went to the people, and watch what happens. As a result of her going to the people now are making their way towards Jesus, which helps us to see something powerful. I want you to write this down. When the people of Jesus go to people, people are able to come to Jesus. When the people of Jesus go to people, people are able to come to Jesus. And here's what I'm trying to help you understand. Be bold with your story. Don't be ashamed of it, because God has done something miraculous in your life. Be bold, because if Jesus has done something for you, he wants to also do it for them. And here's what I've recognized. In today's time, people are bold about a whole lot of things. We bold about sports. We're bold about money. We're bold about our political affiliation. We're bold about all these things. And if we can be bold about these things, we ought to be even more bold about Jesus. Paul says it like this in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul is also saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of what the gospel has done for me. I'm not ashamed. I'm bold. And the reason why this is so profound, it's because Paul was somebody who had a very colorful past, just like this woman. He was somebody who persecuted the church. He was somebody who found Christians and would vote for them to be executed and be killed and be martyred for their faith. He was that dude. But yet he says, Jesus forgave me because of his grace. And therefore, I'm not ashamed, because he did something for me that I did not deserve. I'm going to be bold with it. But she was not only bold, she was also authentic. Watch what it says in verse 29. Go back there. Then a woman left her jar, went to the town, and told the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Who told me everything I ever did. She wasn't afraid to tell the whole story of how Jesus changed her life and pulled her card. She kept it 100, y'all. He told me everything I ever did, y'all. His was also interesting. Many of the people in her town knew a lot that she did as well. But yeah, she was authentic. She was real. She wasn't trying to sanitize the story. She wasn't trying to make it sound like she's always been perfect. You know, one of the things that oftentimes why it's hard for people to come to know Christ is because the Christians who are representing Christ have put off this air as if they have always been perfect because they don't tell their story. And I wanted you to understand something. Every Christian has a backstory. Oh, you got an origin story. Don't make it sound like you just came out the womb knowing Jesus. All of us in here got a checkered past. All of us in here got a past that's not just behind us, but right behind us. Come on. And Jesus says to this woman, tells her everything she does, and she comes now with this boldness and this authenticity where she's not afraid now to present the things that she's done. And I'm going to go back to the Apostle Paul, because Paul wasn't afraid to talk about his story of transformation either. He wasn't afraid to tell about his story either, because he says these words in 1 Timothy 1, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man. But I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Watch what he says next. And I'm the worst of them. But I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example. Watch that. As an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. In other words, Paul is saying, I want y'all to look at me as an example of how God can turn somebody who's a wreck around. Look at my life. Look at my life of how Jesus can come in here and clean a person up no matter what it is that they have done. I like what Pastor Craig Rochelle says. He says this, and this is connected to this thought of us being authentic and sharing our story. You may impress people with your strengths, but you connect with people through your weaknesses. You may impress people with your strengths. So you can share the story about how accomplished you are, all the degrees that you have, all the scriptures that you know. And that might impress people. But you know what really connects with people? Is when you have this story that's rooted in me too. I was messed up too. I was jacked up too. And God did a work in my life. Marriage ended, but God did a work in my life. Friends turned backs on me, but God did a work on my life. I said some things I shouldn't have said, but God did a work on my life. I went some places I shouldn't have went, but God did a work on my life. I looked at some things I shouldn't have looked at, but God did a work on my life. Be authentic with your story, because your story is one of a kind. And there's somebody else that needs to hear your story. But she was not only bold, she was not only authentic, but she was also inviting with her story. Because notice what she says in verse 29. Come see a man. You see the invitation? Come see him. Come see a man. She invited the people to come and see and hear the one who transformed her life. The woman couldn't help but to talk about Jesus. Because as I mentioned earlier, when a person has truly been changed by Jesus and has a life-changing experience with Jesus, they can't help but to tell other people about Jesus. What does this look like for us in the 21st century? Because Jesus has been so good to you, and when you know that he's transformed your life, you can't help but to talk about him. You post about him on social media. You text other people about him. You invite people to church. You're sending people a text message. You're calling people. You're sharing with people. You can't help but to talk about him. Because when Jesus is truly in you, he flows out of you. Let me say it like this. What's in you abundantly flows out of you eventually. So if Jesus is truly in my heart, he will naturally flow out of my heart. But if he's not flowing, and the good news and the testimony of what he's done in my life is not flowing in my life, then that means that there's some blockage in my heart somewhere that needs to be cleaned out. But this woman here, she was so transformed by Jesus when she said, hey, come see a man. What's the practical way that we can do that? I already mentioned it. We've already been talking about it. Next Sunday is Welcome Home Sunday. where we're inviting people to come to know Jesus. Many people may think like, man, why do we invite people to church? We invite people to church because they'll have the opportunity to hear about Jesus and experience him. So we invite people to opportunities for them to meet Jesus. Do you notice here that this woman invited them to a place where Jesus was? Come see a man. And the Bible says they left the town to come to where he was. So when we invite people to Welcome Home Sunday next week, or when we're inviting people to church on a regular basis throughout the course of the month, the weeks, the year, it's so that way they can experience and hear about Jesus too. And many of us in here, let's be honest, many of you who are followers of Christ and watching online, most of you probably came to know Christ through a worship experience on a Sunday morning. And that's powerful because it shows the powerful nature of the church. And what Jesus is saying, I want you to invite others. Invite them. But here's another thing that she was also exhibiting when sharing her story. She was not only bold and authentic and inviting, but she was also trusting. Verse 39 says these words. Now many Samaritans from that town, watch this, believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified. He told me everything I ever did. Why do I say trusting? Because she trusted the reason why she invited them to Jesus. We know this. She trusted that just as Jesus did it for her, he would do it for them too. Why is this so profound? Because oftentimes we think that the burden of proof to change people is on us. It's not. We don't change people. We invite them to experience the one who can change them. Our job is not to change people. He never called us to do that. He called us to go tell people, to go invite people. He says, if you do the telling, I'll do the changing. If you do the sharing, I'll do the saving. If you do the inviting, I'll do the impacting. He says, all I want you to do is go tell. Great Commission. Go make disciples. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you to do. Go tell them. And we trust that Jesus will do the changing when we do the sharing. We tell people, and Jesus transforms people. We tell people, and Jesus transforms people. Get this in your heart today. Because some of us, the reason why you're hesitant to share your faith is because you think that you have to change people. Jesus never told you to do that. He said, I just want you to tell them. Let me work on their hearts. You just give them the message. Because one plants a seed, one waters, but the Bible says God is the one who brings the increase. And many of us are paralyzed when it comes to sharing our faith because we think that it's our job to bring the increase. No, no, no. Your job is to plant the seed. Your job is to water and let God bring the increase. He's the master gardener. He's the master harvester. Let God be God, and you do what you're supposed to do. Share your story. And it's interesting here because the Bible says the whole town, this town, many people, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said. Many people professed that Jesus was Lord because one woman went back to her city and told them about Jesus. One woman, remember last week we preached a sermon, it only takes one. It only takes one. This one woman goes back to her town, tells them about Jesus, and many people in the town come to believe in Jesus. It only takes one. And I just got a question. Who is the one who is here today who said, I'm going to tell people about Jesus because he's done great things in my life, and I want to see him do the same for somebody else? The Bible doesn't say that everybody in the town came to know Christ, because not everybody will. Once again, that's not your job. Your job is to go tell as many people as you can. Because when we are obedient and faithful to the call of God, he's the one who does the transforming. Think about how you came to know Christ for those of us who are followers of Christ. More than likely, somebody invited you, invested in you, told you. Come on, even if you were a Christian from a young age, you had to have somebody who invested in you. Sunday school, come on, somebody. Somebody read a scripture to you. Somebody gave a Bible. Somebody told you about Jesus. And Jesus is saying, pay it forward. Don't let my grace stop with you. Let it flow through you. Don't let transformation stop with you. Let it flow through you. This woman saw a whole city transformed because of her testimony. Because she was bold, she was authentic, she was inviting, she was trusting. Our invitation, write this down, can lead to someone's transformation. Please do not underestimate the power of your story. Please do not underestimate the power of your invite. And I want to close with this thought. Because what's so powerful about the story of the woman sharing her story, once again, is how she did it. She was bold. She was authentic. She was inviting. She was trusting. I don't know if you're taking notes, but if you were to use that as an acronym, bold, authentic, inviting, transforming, B-A-I-T, what does that spell? Hey, that's interesting. Because in Matthew 4:19, Jesus says to his disciples, and he also says to us, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. I'll make you fishers of men. He was telling his disciples in that time who were fishermen, he says, no. Y'all no longer in the fishing business. Fishing for fish. No. It's time to fish for people. And anybody who knows anything about fishing knows that the only way you can catch fish is you got to have some bait. Come on. You can have the best, I don't know nothing about fishing, but you can have the best fishing rod. You can have the best boat. You can go to Bass Pro Shop, get all the gear. But if you don't have the right bait, you will not catch the fish. Come on, anybody who's a fisherman in here, anybody ever do any fishing right now? You can go to a certain pier, but if you don't have bait, you'll never be able to catch it. And what is the bait that Jesus calls us to give to people for them to be caught up into the kingdom of God? You know what that bait is? Your story. Your story is the bait. Because when people hear about how good God has been to you, just like a fish will bite on a hook that got some good bait, when they hear about the story of God's goodness, they will say, like the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when people hear about this incredible story of Jesus transforming your life, people will begin to bite on it. People will begin to consume it. People will begin to want it. People will begin to want it for themselves, because they'll say, if he can do it for you, so here's what I'm asking you to do today. Use your bait. Use your bait. You got some good grade A bait. Come on, look at your story. Look at the story. Look at the parts of the story that you've been trying to hide. That's the good part right there. He says, no, I want you to use that to share. He says, because if you don't have my bait, if you don't have this bait in the form of a life-transforming story, then you'll never be able to reach people. Remember I said earlier, she had information but not revelation. She knew all the religious language. You know all the scriptures. You can come to church week after week. But until you have a story of transformation, it's going to be powerless. But when you have a story, and I believe all of us here do, if you have a story to tell about how Jesus has changed your life and a story of how he's redeemed you, how he set you free, watch what Jesus does. Throw the bait out there. Tell your story and watch how God moves. Watch how God will save people on your job. Watch how God will save people in your family. Watch how God will save people in our community. Watch how God will save your classmates. Watch how God will save your friends at school. When you begin to share your story of how good God has been, come on, when you begin to share your story about how faithful he's been, how he's opened up doors, how he's provided for you, how he's healed your body, I'm going to ask us today, that I want you to ask yourself, is who is coming to Jesus through my life, through my story. Ask yourself this question. When is the last time that I invited somebody to my church to hear about Jesus? I shared a statistic a few weeks back. According to LifeWay research, about 60% of Christians don't do that. But even more than that, when is the last time you shared your story of life change with somebody else, with a family member, with a friend, with a coworker, with a roommate? Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you have a story to tell. And can I beg you and plead with you? Don't allow the enemy to convince you to doubt what God has done in you and for you. You got a story to tell. The enemy wants you and I to stay silent with our story because he understands this. If we stay silent with our story, people stay stuck in their sin. But when you share your story, your testimony, people get set free. How do I know this to be true? Because the book of Revelation says, the people overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There is power in your testimony. There is significance in your testimony. People need to hear how you made it through the dark time as a single parent and how you got through it and raised your kids. People need to hear that. People need to hear how you were strung out on dope, but God set you free from that. People need to hear that. People need to hear how you were addicted to pornography, but Jesus set you free. People need to hear that. That's how we take cities. Because we tell stories. We tell stories of God's grace. And here's what I recognize. You may not know a whole lot about the Bible. That's fine. You don't need to. And people may try to argue a whole lot about the Bible. And people may try to argue this and argue that. That's fine. They can try. Cool, whatever. Here's what they can't argue. They can't argue your testimony. They can't argue your story. They can't argue the fact that you went from group home to group home growing up, but yet you're still here today. By the grace of God, they can't argue that. God says, tell your story. Because that's how people are going to get set free. That's how people will be transformed. I'm going to ask us all to stand to our feet in this moment. Because I believe that God is doing something on the inside of us. My prayer and my hope is that God is moving on the inside of us to where we'll be so compelled to tell our story. And here's what I know. We don't just have one story about God's goodness and grace. We got many. We got so many stories of how good God has been. When I look over the past 18 months of this pandemic, I don't have enough books, paper to write on to talk about how good God has been. So this is why for me personally, I say this as your pastor, but as a fellow Christian, follower of Christ, I'm obsessed with telling people about Jesus. Because I know his goodness. I know what he's done for me. And I believe that he wants to do the same thing for others. And my prayer is that this will be contagious in our church. I'm going to be transparent with you. About two weeks ago, as I was preparing this series, just getting excited about it, I had a moment where it was like, Lord, I got to repent. Because I recognized that I hadn't fanned this flame in our church's heart all of last year. Because my focus last year was like, Lord, give me something to help people get through stuff. We just need to get through it. And it's good. We need to be empowered and equipped to get through it. But you know what's even better? That we would be equipped to help others get through it. So I repented right in the office as I was prepping. And it was like just a rush of fire just came back into my heart. Like, we will always be this church that's always looking for the lost. We will always be this church that's reaching people who are far from God. We will do everything short of sin to reach people for Jesus. Always. That's what our church was founded on. That's what we always gonna be, because that's what Jesus called us to do. So it don't matter if you white, black, Asian, Latino, rich, poor, young, old, we are going to be on mission for Jesus, and we're gonna tell people about him. That's what we gonna do. That's what we gonna do. So no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, we were telling our kids this week, like, hey, look, we want you to be thoughtful about who you can tell about Jesus. So the babies, they going out here getting invite cards and taking them to school this week. Probably might get a call. Mr. Jones, your kids are out here passing out all these cards to your church. Oh, really?
Yes.
Take the city, babies. Why do I say that? You know how many kids in the past 18 months are struggling with depression and are coming from homes that are filled with so much anxiety because the parents are anxious and now it's spilled over to their hearts and now they're coming to these schools and they're having anxiety and they're wrestling. These kids need hope too. So let's empower every ethnicity, let's empower every age, let's empower every generation to go be on mission for Jesus. Because that's how we take cities. And I just want to know, are we this church from this day forward who's going to be these people that say we're taking the city? Are we going to be that church family? Whatever it takes, we reaching people. Whatever it takes, that's what we're doing. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. I pray, Father, for all of us here today, we have a story. Would you forgive us for being silent with it? Many of us in here have so many elements of our story. We made it through molestation. We made it through abuse. We made it through. And now you've called us to go share that grace with others, of how we made it through by your grace with others who are experiencing the same thing so that they too can experience you. Many of us have stories of parents walking out on us, parents not being there for us. But you stepped in as a good father, loved us. Many of us have stories of losing loved ones and feeling the grief of that. But yet you comforted us in our time of grief so that we now could comfort others. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we would be a people who share our story. Because we have a story to tell. We thank you. In Jesus' name, my head's bowed and eyes are closed. Some of you are here today. You've heard me talk so much about this Jesus. You've heard me talk so much about his love, his grace, his forgiveness, how he's changed other people's life. I want you to know he also can do the same thing for you. He wants to do the same thing for you. And some of you are here today and you're watching online and you came to this church today. You've been trying to find satisfaction and fulfillment in so many other places. I'm here to let you know it will never work. It will always run dry. You will always find yourself thirsty, thirsty, thirsty. You will always find yourself trying to fill yourself up. You will always try to find yourself satisfying yourself, and it would never work. But I want to invite you to experience the one who will give you water to the point where you will never thirst again. He will fulfill you. He will fill you up. He will satisfy you. He will renew you. He will restore you. He will reconcile you. He will revive you. And his name is Jesus. That's you today. You're saying, Pastor Edwin, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I want to know him. I'm going to receive him. I don't know a whole lot about the Bible, but what I do know is I want Jesus. I want to have a life-changing experience just like this woman did, and I want to have it today. And if this is your heart's desire, where you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ, maybe for some of you, you're already a follower of Jesus, but you have strayed away terribly, and today Jesus is saying, come back to me. And today is the day for you to come back home. If this is you, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me life. Jesus be my Lord. Jesus be my Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Come on, church, let's make some noise for those who said yes to Christ. Come on. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when somebody says yes to Christ. Come on. Let's make some noise online for every single person who said yes to Christ. Come on, church. Let's make some noise. For every person who said yes to Jesus today.
Amen.